Can I have a couple people help with the communion? Oh, we got pens too. Huh? Oh. Okay. No more exercising for that. Paul said, the only reason Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. And a lot of the church has been taught all kinds of crazy stuff about how to take communion. And sometimes people get so condemned that they don't even want to take communion anymore because they just, you know, the pastor will tell them to ask God to forgive them every time they take communion. So then we spend more time asking God to forgive us the stuff He has already forgiven us, till finally we just say, heck with it, man, I'm not ever going to be good enough to take communion. And we just stop. I've been there. There's a lot of people been there. You know, if you start searching for mistakes, the devil's going to point them out to you. Amen? And he said the way to discern the body of Christ is to see Jesus in this bread. This bread is made without yeast. And in the Bible, yeast is significant of sin. And Jesus' body was certainly without yeast. You've got to understand that you're worthy because of the blood of Jesus. You're worthy to take communion because of the blood of Jesus. Also, this bread has been beaten. And He took a beating for us. He was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes we were healed. Also, this bread has been pierced. And He was certainly pierced when He was on the cross. A Roman soldier stuck a spear in His side. But also He was pierced when He took a crown of thorns on His head. He was pierced when He was nailed to the cross in His hands and in His feet. Everywhere Jesus shed His blood, we got some redemption in some area for that. This is an adventure for you. Try to find out what got redeemed when His hands got pierced. What got redeemed when His feet got pierced. What got redeemed when His head got pierced. If you want to take a shortcut, go to the Catholic Church and look at the Stations of the Cross. Yeah, I told you to do that. And pray those prayers. Just not the bottom one where it says pray to Mary. Pray the prayers that are above that. It's really cool. You'll love it. Also, this bread has been slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. That wrath that was meant for us. Because we're the lawbreakers, not Jesus. We broke the law. We deserved the penalty of death. But God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. His body was broken. And we take this for our healing and our well-being. We thank You for it. Jesus shed His blood all over the place. His blood not only washed away our sins, we know we've been forgiven, but it washed them away so much that God forgot them. This blood also protects us. We plead the blood of Jesus for protection. It's one of our weapons of warfare. Also, this blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. And this blood has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus so we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. We thank You for this. You know, the closest. The closest thing that we have as a picture of a waterfall of forgiveness is a mother's love. Happy Mother's Day. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth, as the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word. As we learn of Jesus, as we take his yoke upon us, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given to us. So now we can take your written word and put it into our hearts and make it a spoken word and operate in this kingdom by faith. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Have you ever wondered about a waterfall of forgiveness? If you haven't ever wondered about a waterfall of forgiveness, you should just look at a mom. Especially when they got toddlers, especially boys. You know, maybe they're 4, 5. Just getting old enough to really be daredevils. The mama might warm his butt up a couple times, but she don't stop loving him. She might grab him by the ear and take him behind the woodshed, but she don't stop loving him. And I don't care how dirty that boy gets, he's still got it made with mom. I was thinking about this morning, and I think it's really cool that Mother's Day happens in the spring. Have you ever noticed in the spring there's new things, you know, baby calves and lambs and goats and baby colts and the grass, you know, this is different. You know, this is a different area. Up home, the grass is green, it's growing, the flowers are blooming, and it's really neat. You know, we're just in a whole different time zone here. But things are fresh. You know, the snow's gone, the winter's gone, and things are starting to look good. You know, the birds are chirping. And I just think it's really cool that mom is celebrated in the spring. You ever noticed after a blizzard and it warms up, the sun comes up and it warms up, everybody seems to relax. You know, the ice goes away. And it's nice. I've noticed that about little kids. When things happen, when they crash, sometimes they crash hard, and everything is all wrong until they can get to mom. And you watch, they start to breathe normally after a bit. Mom can calm them down. Christians are a lot like little kids. When they crash and burn, things aren't right. And it's hard to get them calmed down, but if they can get focused on God, on the love of God, they can calm down. Science has even proven this, that people that pray seem to have better health. You know, and they're, when they can get people to praying, that even their insides change. Even their mind changes. Yeah. You know, there's a chemical reaction in your mind that happens when you pray, when you confess God's word. They've proven that. God changes you from the inside out. But when people run from God, you notice when little kids run from their parents, it doesn't get any better for a little bit. When people run from God, It doesn't get any better. Whatever is attacking them isn't going to go away until they get to God. The same way with whatever's wrong with that little kid isn't going to get any better until they get to mama. Amen? Let's look over to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. This adventure, this waterfall of forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." In that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first old. Now that which decays and wax old is ready to vanish away. Why is it so hard for people to understand that the old covenant went away? He brought in a new covenant. It's pride. The same way sometimes kids want to do things on their own. They don't want mama to help them. It's pride. People are the same way. I got this figured out. I'll handle it. I'll do it. I'll worry about it. I'll stress over it. I can do this. What are they doing? They're just completely ignoring what God said. Christians spend a lot of time asking God to forgive them and stuff He's already forgiven them of. And in fact, He says He doesn't even remember it. Why do you? Christians have a way of beating themselves up with mistakes that they've made. Sometimes they do it for years and years and years and years. You know, if there's nothing you can do to fix it, you got to go on. You got to stop worrying about it. There's nothing you can do to change it. The blood of Jesus took care of it. Go forward. Amen? One thing I know about grace, it will not encourage people to sin. But people do give up when they're under the law. You know, I've ran into a lot of people that are born again, that have went to church, some of them quite a bit, and finally they said, you know what, I can't live the way they expect me to live. I can't live the way that pastor tells me I should live. And I tell him, I say, well, neither can he. And they look at me like I'm crazy. But it's the truth. Paul calls the law the ministry of death. This is what the law does. It condemns. It's to break people. It's to bring people to the end of themselves so they can see their need for a Savior. Grace and truth came and we called Him Jesus. Grace and truth builds people up. The reason some people don't love much is they don't understand how much they've been forgiven. You know, in Luke, look at Luke chapter 7. Verse 44. Jesus turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet continually with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. You ever wondered how come so many preachers were total outlaws before they got born again? You know, you ever listen to Jesse Duplantis? His story? That guy was a wild man. Kenneth Hagin was a wild man. No, not Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was a wild man. There's so many pastors running around that have gotten, you know, God pulled them out of drug addictions, out of alcoholism, out of whatever kind of messes. I ran into pastors that were in jail in Mexico. They got born again in Mexico in a jail, and they got out and went right straight back to Mexico to preach the gospel. You ever wondered about that? They know what they got forgiven of. They've been told that you're irredeemable. They've been told that there's absolutely no use in wasting any time on you. Some of them have been told you're going to hell. Then when somebody actually tells them about the grace of God, the love of God, and they get born again, well, they take it all in. And they say, you know, whatever you want to do, let's just go do it. Your life is so much better than the life I was living before. It's just, I want some more of that. Amen? And then they don't mind stopping whatever they're doing to just go serve God. They understand what they got forgiven of. But the secret to godliness is not in exhibiting Christian character, self-control, or brotherly kindness, but understanding forgiveness. One of the most important words you're going to know is righteousness. It's not a big religious word that you got to get worried about. But understand that righteousness means right standing with God. That's one of the most important words you're going to know. Because absolutely everything boils down to this. Are you in right standing with God or not? If you're not, then you need to get born again. If you are, then you need to accept that and start receiving His blessings. Stop walking around in condemnation and fear. Now here's the thing about righteousness. You're not going to understand righteousness until you understand forgiveness. And a lot of Christians don't understand forgiveness. And I know they don't because they hold people under their thumb. Well, that guy had an affair on his wife. That woman, she did this. That guy did that. That guy is a wife beater, and she did whatever. They do all these things. They hold people under their thumb. You got to stop and look at this for just a second through clear eyes. If the blood of Jesus isn't good enough for your neighbor to be forgiven, then it's not good enough for you. You understand that? Jesus got on the cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of all sins, of all sinners. If there's one sin that Jesus didn't take care of, then He couldn't take care of any of them. We don't think about these things enough. You know the guy that just got a DWI here a while back that was born again? And people run around talking about him. I know a guy that he was born again and he just didn't get a hold of it. And he got drunk and he crashed his pickup. And another pastor said he should have just died. I wanted to slap him. That guy's born again. Jesus loves him the same way he loves us. Do you suppose God said he should have just died? No. No. You know, in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And that's true. But here's the thing about the Bible. You always have to pay attention to who's talking and who they're talking to. See, that's how you keep the Bible in context. Every chapter that John wrote to Christians, he said, beloved, to my brother. That's how he'd start the chapter. That particular chapter, he didn't start it out that way. Because he was witnessing to Gnostics. See, the Bible has to make sense from beginning to end. He was telling them, if he was telling these Gnostics that they asked God to forgive them, he will, and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. You go just a little ways away from there to 1 John 1:7, it says, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. He's witnessing to these people. That's where we are. We're supposed to be in 1 John 1:7. We get taught to be in 1 John 1:9. But you're forgetting about Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. If you're continually visiting 1 John 1:9, then you just scrubbed Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 out of the way. And now guess what? You're depending on your own works to cause you to be righteous before God. Is it your confession of your sin and asking God to forgive you that cleansed you, or is it the blood of Jesus? Is it your works, or is it His grace? It's His grace. It's by His blood. Amen? We have to receive that. See, that's where you go from having a sin conscience to having a righteousness conscience. Any moms in here had a kid that broke a window? What, did you raise a bunch of little saints or what? Butch never broke a window? But you didn't stop loving him. Well, they made a mistake. They're still your son. Amen? They're still your kid. But when you're in right standing with somebody, you can make mistakes and they still love you. Even people are that way. How much more God, who created this thing, and Jesus, who told us about agape love. Agape love is one of those things, it's a covenant love. It's no matter what. That's what how God treats us is what this agape love. See, we come into a covenant with Him. When we said, Jesus, be my Lord, we came into a covenant. And now, no matter what, we're in this covenant of love with Him. We don't understand it the way He does. But there's no way out of that covenant for Him. It's no matter what. He's going to love you no matter what. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eat not. Is that right? Yeah. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eat not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Here's the thing. God accounted righteousness to Abraham because he believed God. And he called Abraham the father of faith. Faith is not by works. It's not by you getting on your knees and asking God to forgive you before you can believe you're forgiven of sins. You believe you're forgiven of sins because Jesus got on the cross and shed his blood for you. When you understand that all sins, past, present, and future, were taken care of at that cross, then you can walk in a new set of freedom. And this drives religious people crazy. They don't understand this. How can you say your future sins were taken care of? Well, unless you were standing at the cross, when Jesus got on there, every single sin you ever committed was a future sin. Amen? And He forgave you of it before you were even born. You just had to receive it when you said, Jesus be my Lord. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Have you ever noticed in the Bible, you never hear God berating Jesus or berating Paul of his sins? He never even reminded Paul of his sins that he did. When Paul repented and said, you're Lord, that was the end of it. Look how Paul treated the Corinthian church. These guys were deep in sin. There were some really crazy things going on with the Corinthian church. And Paul went there to line it back out, but look how he did it. He didn't say, you're not supposed to be having sex with temple prostitutes. He said, stop that. You're not supposed to be getting drunk in church. Stop that. He didn't do none of that. Here's what he said. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, for you are God's. He said, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said, you're a new creature in Christ. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. What was he doing? He was reminding him of what God did in them. Said, God did a good thing in you. Amen? He didn't berate them over their sin. He reminded them of who they were in Christ Jesus. Encouraged them. I really love what Jesus did one of them Pharisees caught that woman in the act of adultery, and they drug her down there and threw her down in front of Jesus' feet and said, according to the law, this woman should be stoned. And that was according to the law. Jesus wrote something in the sand. I don't know what he wrote, but it cleared the crowd. And then this woman looked up at him, and Jesus said, where are those who condemn you? He says, none condemn you. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now what happened first? Forgiveness of sins or the gift of no condemnation? He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He gave her a license to freedom, and he gave her a ticket to conquer sin. When she found out God wasn't mad at her, that Jesus loved her, that gave her a way out. She wasn't under that weight no more. She got set free. People need to be set free. You know, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. You can sit there and tell people about their failures and how God's going to judge them, how they're going to get left behind, and all this other stuff. That's not going to do anything but build fear and condemnation into their hearts. Well, you tell them that God loves them and that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And if they ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, they'll do that. Especially, this drives a lot of religious people crazy again, when you find somebody that's not born again, and you go pray for them when they're in the hospital, and they get healed. That bugs a lot of people. Did you know that Jesus healed a lot of scoundrels? You know, almost all of them, because they weren't born again, because he hadn't died on the cross yet. Don't be afraid to pray for somebody that's not born again. Don't be afraid to go to the hospital, minister to them, and pray for them. Don't be afraid to bless them with food and clothes. Why? The Bible tells us that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. When they see how good God is, they're going to start wanting to know more about Him. They're going to have questions. Amen? Did you know it's okay to invite non-believers to church? Sometimes you kind of wonder about people sometimes. They'll invite other Christians to church. But did you know it's okay to go invite a scoundrel to church? Somebody invited me to church one time. I mean, I stayed as far away from church as possible, anything religious. But they said, hey, there's a cowboy preacher going to Hewlett. Want to go to a cowboy church service? And I said, I never even heard of that before. I thought, well, that can't be all that bad. And I swear, Glenn Smith, Crystal Lyons, Mike Morrison, and there was two more out there. There were 20 people in that meeting, and it was a little bitty room, and the anointing was so thick in there, I didn't stand a chance. I was born again. That was the first time ever. What happened? They said, you don't have to go to hell. You can get born again. God will forgive you. And I thought, you mean if I ask Jesus to be my Lord, I don't have to go to hell? My hand was up. That's why I got born again, because I didn't want to go to hell. You know, people out there don't want to go to hell, but they don't know how not to. Without somebody telling them, they don't know what to do. There's a lot of people that would receive Jesus if somebody would show them how. Amen? Look for the ones that are wearing crosses. Oftentimes, those are like a good luck charm for them. And they're waiting for somebody to tell them about Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the moms that you have put in our lives. The many, many blessings that the moms have brought to us, just being moms. They teach us about grace, and they teach us about love. They teach us about patience, and they teach us about tolerance. They teach us about forgiveness. They teach us about the good things that God has for us. We can learn a lot about God by watching mom. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have some good food back here. Everybody welcome to come back. I haven't made anybody sick yet with my barbecue, so. Come on back.